This is Iconic.
Welcome to Iconic, where we talk about all things Pelgrane. I'm your host, JM, and with me are my other hosts, Becca and Mark.
Hello.
Howdy.
Today, we're going to be talking about the next Gumshoe game that we're going to be looking at this season. The first Gumshoe game we wrapped up last month, we did our actual play that Becca ran of Trail of Cthulhu. And now we're going to take a look at a new Gumshoe, that system that sort of takes the core design principles of Gumshoe, the investigative skills, the focus on clues and leads, but applies it to a completely different genre and a completely different style of play. Today we're going to be looking at Knight's Black Agents, a vampire spy thriller by Kenneth Haidt. This is a game that Mark and I have loved for years. We've played a couple of times, and we're kind of excited to talk about it today. So the format of the next 4 months of Iconic will be, this month we're going to talk about Knight's Black Agents. Next month we're going to talk about some of the accessories for Knight's Black Agents and the Dracula dossier, the big campaign. And then we will have our discussion of, or we'll do our actual play of Knight's Black Agents, which I believe I'm running because Mark has already made his character. He is very excited to play this. So what is Knight's Black Agents? It is a spy thriller. It is a game where you are playing spies and you are investigating not rival spy organizations, but vampires. This is a game that is a mashup genre. Now, Kenneth Haidt has done a lot of great horror RPG books. The first one I encountered him with was GURPS Horror for 3rd edition. And, you know, he's done work on Knight's Black Agents. He's worked on another number of other projects. I think he was actually on, and we'll put a link in the show notes, on forgetting the name of the podcast, but he and Greg Stolze were on a podcast that is a look at Christian gaming, and he did personal horror and Greg Stolze did cosmic horror. They were both great interviews. I'll see if we can't find the links for that. But this seeks to emulate the spy thriller genre. And because of the dials that it sets, it's everything from Jason Bourne to Le Carre novels, to the Alias TV show, to the Bond genre, to Mission Impossible, and to one of my favorite books, Declare, by Tim Powers, which is about spies versus Nephilim on Mount Ararat. If you have not read Declare, stop listening to this and go get Declare and then come back. This is what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about Knight's Black Agents, how to take the Gumshoe system and how they made it unique. And we're going to do kind of our review and walkthrough of the core rule book. So without further ado, any intro topics you guys want to talk about before we get into the rule book? Anything that stood out? For me, one of the things is this book has far more color than The Call of Cthulhu. The Call of Cthulhu had sort of this sepia tone kind of through the whole thing. And Knight's Black Agents use blues for the player section, and then reds for the GM section, and then purple for the adventure. And so there's this color shift throughout the whole thing, which is really interesting because it's like, you know, veins, arteries, like you get kind of this whole range of blood, but it's also full color throughout the whole book, which is interesting. So yeah, any initial thoughts before we jump into this?
It's interesting that you said it's blood colored. I was here thinking, like, usually, you know, blue means people on your team, red is the enemy. But sure, blood works.
I mean, it's a game about vampires, so my first thought was veins and arteries running through the book. Maybe we'll ask.
Sure.
I'll ask Ken at Gen Con and see what he thinks.
Well, if you think about it, like on when you go to the doctor and they have the body there with a circulatory system, Blood going to the heart is lacking oxygen. It's blue, and the stuff coming out with oxygen is red.
I mean, I recognize what you guys are saying, like, and I'm with you. I'm just saying that was not my first thought when it came to the color coding of
I think book. Becca thinks that we're just bent, Mark, is what's going on.
Well, there's a lot of blood.
Yeah.
Sure.
So again, it takes your basic Gumshoe system, general abilities, investigative abilities, health, sanity, stability, and the way combat works, and then takes that core framework, which if you go back and listen to our first three episodes on Gumshoe 101, 102, 201, you'll find a firm foundation there. But it adds a lot of dials, and I love the dials. So in Call of Cthulhu, there are really only two dials. You either are playing purist Lovecraft, where everyone goes crazy and dies, or you're playing pulp Indiana Jones Lovecraft, where you're only going to die or go crazy, not both of them. But in this game, Nice Black Agents gives you essentially four dials, and much like the Trail of Cthulhu game, they icon code these for throughout the book. So if you really want a specific style of spy thriller, look for these icons as you're reading through the rule book, and they'll say, if you're playing in this mode, focus on this. So the four dials, if you will, there's burn, and burn really looks at the psychological toll of doing morally ambiguous and outright evil actions for a greater good. And what does that do to the psyche of a person? If you're blowing up a building because there are vampires, it's a vampire nest, but there's also what you would deem acceptable casualties. What does that do to the human mind and soul? There's dust, and dust is more of your depowered, very more realistic kind of spy, as opposed to more of the cinematic style of spy. Mirrors leans into who can you trust? The duplicitous wilderness of mirrors that exists in the spy world. Double agents, triple agents, vampire thralls working inside your agency. Who can you trust to get the game done? And then stakes really deals with kind of like end of the world, sort of like the highest kind of codes of honor, the kind of the almost epic good versus evil kind of spy genre. So before we get into this, let me ask you guys, what are sort of your favorite spy movies or books as you were reading through this that you kind of went back to going, oh, I could run this style of game in it?
Well, the obvious is the Bond movies. Bourne, the latest one we talked a little bit before, is The Terminal List.
Mm-hmm.
And the book really matches this more than the TV show,
mm-hmm.
because in the book, he quickly finds out what's going on. And then it's the thriller of doing what he does and being chased and on all that. So just like here, you get the information easily, and it's more of all the action afterwards to keep mm-hmm. you going, keep you glued to your seat or glued to the book. I read the book in 2 days. That's how good I liked it.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's like, and then bought the other books. So, and then here's a call out. They mentioned in the book, it's Mission Impossible, but they mentioned the Mission Impossible TV series from the 60s. That really emulates some of the stuff they talk about in their book.
Yeah.
And how they did stuff.
That's Trisha's favorite. Like, she loves the Mission Impossible TV series. I'm showing Zane the Mission Impossible movies, and we've done the first two. And he's like, this is like Leverage. I'm like, it sort of is, yes, but much more in kind of the spy world. Obviously, for me, I love Declare by Tim Powers. Richard from The Grand Campaign got me into a lot of Carré novels, which are much more sort of down to earth spy, more realistic spy genres. What about you, Becca? Or is this a genre that you even like? I should have asked that to start.
It is a genre I enjoy. I enjoy a lot of different spy, primarily TV shows and movies. I haven't read too many books. Like, as I was sitting there thinking about it, and I was like, oh, that's like not the book I read, but it's definitely the type of movie or show that I go to. I mean, you know, I was in high school when like Alias was coming out, and my mom loves that show and has watched it like over 20 times. So I've seen my own fair amount of it. Then you've got Burn Notice. Mm-hmm. I was even thinking there's, you know, a part of it, the more vampiric part kind of is an underworld tone from those movie series of like the vampires are moving and you don't really see it. And then as soon as you do, it's almost a race to like, what are you going to do about it? Another one. Salt with Angelina Jolie, mm-hmm. Where, you know, half the movie you're trying to figure out who's on what side. Very much a mirrors version of this game of who's where and doing what.
Now, I went through this whole book and I did not see my favorite TV show listed. But apparently Vampires and Mel Brooks does not go together, because Get Smart is sort of a classic spy TV show and movie for me. And sadly, that is not the type of genre we are going for here. But yeah, so if you guys were to set a game, would you go mm-hmm. burn, dust, mirrors, or stakes?
I would probably go mirrors. Maybe because as I was like sitting there and like thinking of this game and stuff, a lot of my characters, a lot of my players would go mirrors of like, oh, can I trust the other people in my party? And the more you assure them that yes, you can, the less they're going to trust each other. So you might as well just set it up to be ready for betrayal.
I feel like you tend to default to my players trust no one and nothing. Like, not you, but your player group is the most misanthropic group of just
yes.
Like, and I played with these people. I love them, but I know what you're talking about.
Right? Oh,
a kindly old orphan who wants us to do something, I kill him.
Yeah, it speaks volumes of your playgroup.
Right? Poor Mark has recently joined some of my games, and he's sitting there like, no, we have to go over there, guys. And they're like, don't trust it. Go the other way.
I think I would do burn mode, just because it includes all the extra things you can do, the cherries and your MOS and stuff we'll talk about later, but all the extra stuff to make it the high thriller Mission Impossible, leap from a building onto a helicopter, where dust really kind of de-escalates that. And says, mm-hmm. No, let's make it more like, you know, like Carrie, we are the tinker, sailor, soldier, spy, where it's more realistic, low powered, can still be a lot of fun. You're not doing the fantastic stuff. And I think I would even run this if, and they mentioned this, if you're not into the occult and you don't want to go against vampires, you could run this as a straight, like top secret, just spy mission to take down stuff. It would be great.
Mm-hmm. And we'll talk a little bit about that because they also give you three, if they're like, if you're not into vampires, here's three other ways to use our game system. And again, there is a common thread between all Pelgrane games that at least we've encountered of rip this apart and do it, you know, use it however you like. I mean, that's kind of one of the core tenets of 13th Age, that we're going to give you multiple reasons for the monsters and multiple views of the icons. This game takes what they built in Trail of Cthulhu and kind of blows it up even more. Like, you have so many different ways to build the game and to build the vampires that no two games of Knights Black Agents should ever remotely feel the same. But let's get into what you can expect out of this book. Now, it does have slightly different rules for building characters than Trail of Cthulhu. My initial takeaway was that even more competent than a pulp character in Trail of Cthulhu. Becca, you ran our pulp game and you mm-hmm. said you were making a character before this. Why don't you talk about like investigative and build point differences, how many more points you get, that sort of thing. Do you feel that way? Do you feel like your character is way cooler than?
Oh, absolutely. For myself, in order to understand the game, building a character is super helpful for me. So I did that. I built a hacker analyst spy character. And I mean, to start off with, even if you just go like to the basics, strip it down, don't mess with a lot of the outside stuff, you get 70 points in general abilities. And yeah, there's a few more, but that is a lot to start with. And I feel super highly competent just in the fact that I'm like, oh, I'll probably survive at least one session before I start to go crazy and die. So yeah, there's a couple different things. You get to choose backgrounds if you'd like, and the backgrounds will take into consideration general abilities and then your investigative abilities. Mm-hmm. And we'll use up some of that. So I pulled two backgrounds and it took 36 of my general ability points. So I got to use the other half for whatever I wanted. Then they give you different drives. You have multiple sources of stability. You get to be just the badass spy you want to be, to use my language.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair, because that is true. You are, again, a very highly trained individual. Mm-hmm. Now, in addition to the normal things, you also start with 15 points in networking and 10 points in cover. And I'll cover mm-hmm. cover, Mark, if you want to talk about networking, because good Lord. Also, a lot of the abilities, again, depending on what mode you're playing in, have special abilities if you get the general abilities at 8 points or above. So, for example, in hand to hand, Eye of the Tiger, you get this ability where if you have 8 or more points in hand to hand, you can spend a point to assess your opponent and kind of figure out how tough they are. Now, cover, you get 10 points to start, and this is a general ability that just you had preparedness in Trail of Cthulhu, the skill that lets you go, oh, well, I would have brought X, Y, or Z, right? It's to represent your characters know more about the world than you do. You start with 10 points of cover, and cover is the how many cover identities does your character have already prepared to slip in and out of as they need to going throughout the game. So it represents the fact that you're not a starting spy. You have all of these different identities spread throughout the world that as you need them, you can define them as they come up, which, again, is just a cool representation of what we see in the first Mission Impossible movie. When everything goes to hell and Ethan gets back to the safe house, the first thing he does is he pulls out the go bag and starts flipping through all of the passports that he has, trying to figure out where he should go next. That's what this skill represents. And then, Mark, you want to talk about networking real quick? Because you get 15 points starting off in networking.
Yeah, network is like Jam said, you start with 15 points in it, and cover, you start with points, and there's a few other skills you get points in for free. Again, as to quote Becca, they want you to be a badass spy. Mm-hmm. So network is your professional contacts, who you know. I've started creating a character. He's a GSD-9 sniper. But more than that, who does he know? He probably knows people in the police. Maybe he knows an informant that's a street vendor that informs for the police. So that's another contact. And it's things that you use to get more information. Again, if you watched the Trail of Cthulhu and the finding the information, you use your network like, okay, we're stuck. Like, you know what? I use my network who works at the train station to get us smuggled across the border, you know, in the train without the public knowing, you know, the government mm-hmm. knowing that we're on this train, and get across into so we can get to Bucharest and do our mission without people knowing.
Which is where the adventure that I'm going to run will take place, Mark, just so you know. It will be in
Bucharest. Oh, okay, good. Bucharest. I will Google Earth that map and know we'll go exactly from there. Where I'm going to set up my sniper nest. So it's people you know so you can move the game forward and, hey, I got a network that can do this.
And it's not just a fun mechanic for the players to represent the simulation of the game. The GM is tracking a resource that we'll talk about later called heat, which is how much of your actions raise the local law enforcement or the global law enforcement's awareness of what you are doing. Networking and covers help decrease heat so that you're not accidentally, you know, taken out by Spetsnaz commandos because you're operating in Russia and the heat level is so high that the FSB wants you taken out. The mechanics all work very well together. Now, they do give you, Gumshoe is pretty easy to reskin, as we'll see as we look at Trail of Cthulhu, Nice Black Agents, and then Swords of the Serpentine. So they give you new general and investigative abilities. So we've talked about network and cover. Becca is going to obviously be using digital intrusion in our game because she's playing the hacker. There's skills for surveillance and how that works. New investigative skills include things like military science, tradecraft, traffic analysis, and vampirology. So how much do you know about vampires? As I said, I really like the cover skill a lot. What were some of the new investigative skills that stood out to you guys?
Like tradecraft, you're basically, I've been trained as a spy, mm-hmm. so I know how to do this. And traffic analysis, which deals with the patterns and where things are going, so you can figure out that's what's happening.
Now, tradecraft covers things like setting up dead drops.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff covered under the tradecraft. Yeah.
It's basically the things spies are trained to know how to do. Lose a tail, set up a dead drop, that sort of thing. What about you, Becca? What were ones that stood out to you?
I enjoyed the BS detector because everyone likes to believe that they know when someone in their life is lying to them.
Yeah.
And this is just a skill that I think a lot of people are going to be interested in
mm-hmm.
because you always want to know when you're being lied to. I also enjoyed that there's a flirting skill because in, you know, your traditional RPGs, D&D, Pathfinder, there's like persuade or charm. Nope, mm-hmm. we're just getting down to it. You're flirting.
That's right.
Can you?
That's right. And, you know, a Call of Cthulhu had assess honesty, but BS detector works far better as a skill in Knights Black Agents than assess honesty. So, Mark, Becca covered backgrounds, which is kind of one of the starting places of the character. You really liked the military occupation specialties that you get to pick from, the MOSs. You want to talk a little bit about how those go into character building?
Yes, you pick, as James said, MOS, and that's how it's not MOS, it's MOS. In the military, that's your military occupational specialty. That's the job you do. In this game, it's the one thing you pick it at the beginning. It doesn't change. And it's the one thing you do really, really, really well. And the game benefit is once per session, you can invoke your MOS and it automatically succeeds. If Becca's a hacker, she might pick data analysis or one of her hacking skills. If I'm building the sniper, I will probably pick shooting. And it's not just, oh, I can, you know, shoot the guy, I can make my general ability roll, hit the goal and do that. It's I'm taking that mile shot across rooftops to shoot the nuclear device out of the bad guy's hand. And yeah. As a director, Jam's like, okay, that's going to be a goal of 15. Like, no, I invoke my MOS. It happens.
Yeah.
Once per session. There's a very good example in the book when he talks about gameplay of his spotter who spent the whole time sitting on a rooftop just communicating with the team and not doing anything and not getting involved in a shootout. And he's like, okay, the vampire lord gets away with the nuclear device. And she's like, okay, here's my preparedness. I make a roll. I pick up my rocket launcher and I use shooting MOS and I shoot the helicopter down. He's like, oh my. She just saved it for that vital moment of, yeah, this is going to be a roll. I destroy the helicopter.
Yeah.
And it worked. That's perfect. And that's what that MOS, you use it once per session to do something extraordinary. And yeah, you pick that in your background to start.
They give you some good advice on it. Like everyone should have something different. One, because if you all have the same MOS, it's sort of boring. But two, it allows each person to have a place to shine. If Becca picks digital intrusion and Marks picks shooting, and who knows who else will be in the game. But you get to pick that one cool thing that your character is guaranteed when the chips are down to succeed. I dig that.
That moment, that shine.
We'll be back in 2 weeks when we continue our look at Knights Black Agents, the core rules for spies versus vampires using the gumshoe system. And if you'd like to support the show, you can do so by becoming a patron at patreon.com/iconicpodcast. You've been listening to the Iconic Podcast. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, you can contact us at iconicpodcast@gmail.com. Also, check out iconicpodcast.com for news, updates, and more information about the show. Thanks for listening.